Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me in no particular order are the players and their level 5 characters. Caleb.
Hello, I'm playing Kaito Itata. I'm a Warforged Barbarian level 5.
Brayden.
Hey, I'm Brayden. I'm playing Beleg Dagar, half-elf Hexblade Warlock, also level 5.
Brandon.
Hey, I'm Brandon. I'm playing Ikaruk Poonschley. I'm a Bloodhunter, half-orc, level 5.
Tomo.
Hey, I'm Tomo. I'm playing Steve Tellyman, a level 5 Gloomstalker Ranger Boy.
P.S. We have a badger.
Krizzlick.
Oh, Krizzlick.
Previously on Dungeons and Blackguards.
All right, so to recap, me and Beleg squared off. I didn't have a weapon. He came at me with one. I threw a dagger at him.
Oh my god. What kind
I'm
of...
I'm telling the story. You have to shut the fuck up right now. Because I rolled a 3. So he came at me with a weapon, despite me not having one. So I threw a dagger at him. It also happened to be the Shaving Chris.
Came at you.
I don't know how he attacked and dodged in the same turn, but he managed to try and dodge as well. It still failed. And he lost half his hair. Then he chased after me. Then he almost fell off a roof, and he fell into my ethereal plane and did not take the damage. And Rook was taking a nap. I think that was the game.
No, I fell through a window.
And you then, did try and come out.
Well, I came out for a little bit. I went through the window and took some sweet damage.
And then you heard Freddy and Nafri, right?
Yeah. Yeah, or yeah, Freddy and we found that secret door that was like to the back side of the what you call it there, the old hurt locker.
Did we find a door, or did we just find like a crack where we could hear it?
No, it was a door. We just couldn't figure out how to open it.
Right.
I think we realized that it was a back door from the inside of the hurt locker, don't you?
Yeah, that's what we figured out. Or I think.
And you were assured of Kaitoa standing guard because every once in a while you heard some knocking.
I came back to look for a mechanism. Okay. I also went through the old buddy's office there looking for it. But I couldn't find anything. And then after I took some sweet damage from smashing through the window and hurting my ankle, I decided that was probably a good idea to get another short rest in if I could before I go to duel this... Pass.
Okay. That's where we're going to have you guys kick it off. And then Kaitoa, yeah, you have been standing guard while these guys did their thing. I should note, Rook, if Sleepy E is trying to get a pre-duel nap in, it is now or never.
Well, that's what I mean. I was going to say, I definitely want to have that short... Well, I went for a short rest after my ankle, and I didn't find the contraption, and I left the bell egg and to human to their shenanigans. So
it was shenanigans.
So I will definitely take a short rest and roll a hit die if I can.
Yeah, go for it. And guys, now with Rook going to take a short rest, you are committed to this companion of yours. Essentially, tending to his wounds, patching himself up, taking him to only 15 minutes to 3 o'clock in the plaza duel.
Shit, so we're going to have to...
During this hour, what are you guys doing?
So are we going to have to interrogate Nafri, San, Rook?
Oh, interesting. So, Rook, why don't you roll that hit die? Let's see how good this was for you. And how many do you have left?
I believe I'm at 36. And hit die, I've got 2 left. So
okay,
I'm rolling
2 left for today's hit dice.
No, well, for this level, right?
Or until you have another long
rest.
No,
until long rest. Yeah.
Till long rest, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So you have 2. And then, so I'm at 36 and I just rolled. And it's 1d10 that I get for my hit die. So I just rolled a 9.
Oh, sweet.
So that takes me pretty much to full. Plus my constitution.
Was it plus 2 or 3?
3, so 12.
Wow.
So that takes me to, well, one hit die under my full. So I'm a 49. So it'll bring me up to 48, which I need if I'm going to duel this asshole.
So how do you heal yourself, Rook? Do you imagine you're doing an actual physical, you know, bandaging that ankle up?
Yeah, I'm kind of a soldier background, so I'd definitely be bandaging, cleaning the wound, and you know, if there's shards of glass, kind of pulling them out and doing little ad hoc stitches in them with some of Kaito's homemade thread.
Okay, guys, it's clear that the half-orc needs to have taken this time, and it's obviously paying off. Your friend looks much relieved that he can go off into the corner here and tend to his damaged leg and etc. While you, Beleg, back to what you were saying.
Well, we have to talk to Nafri before this duel, I think.
What do we want to do with Nafri? Do we want to interrogate him, or you become Nafri?
Don't we have a few things to ask him?
So my worry is when we break him into regular Nafri mode, we're probably not going to make it to the duel because we're going to be fighting him.
Just let us.
Well, we have an hour and 15 minutes before the duel.
Yeah.
Just while Rook is, like, combat wise, we should be fine timing.
So, Rook, you are able to talk and interact, but you won't be able to do anything too strenuous, or I will take away those hit points. But you do shout. What did I hear you shout there? Just slit his throat?
Just slit his throat.
Okay, so then you guys hear that.
We know he's guilty. What information do we want from him?
Well, he could enlighten us on certain things.
Yeah, some of those documents had some stuff we'd want to ask him about. Like, I don't know if we want to ask him about the moon mask a bit more, or
I'm sure one of his assistants would be able to tell us.
Well, there is that potter. We could go visit the potter who was issued to, like, make it. And so, yeah, we could. There is a, like, we have another suspect to go talk to. So we
there
could
are
just
other things to do.
Okay, right, let's.
We could also smash his hands in a bloody pulp before, so he doesn't really. We stuff a sock in his mouth as well.
Strong magic.
Just saying.
We need to bind his hands at very least. I don't think.
Yeah, so. we can take his.
Really want to say. We need to bind his.
We can take
hands.
His somatic components away.
We could. Well, we got an axe. Like.
Time check. How long does your suggestion spell last, Mr. Half-Elf Warlock?
I think it's 8 hours.
Okay,
I made the dual time.
4:30, right. Okay, so you have till 4:30 for that suggestion spell to be essentially occupying him. In the interim, on the one hand, it's going to be, you know, 2:45, I guess, where Rook has taken us to, about 1:45 to 2:45, while you guys decide what to do.
Could just, like, go into the duel real quick and then come back and then deal with them afterwards.
If the duel goes quick.
That's like, the thing.
It could break into, like, a giant fight and a huge thing where we get taken away and, like...
We're playing with fire, that, especially now that we know that there's a another passageway or way out of the...
I think taking him out is the safest bet. Talking to him, then killing him is, like, a little more risky, but then, like, not killing him, going to the fight being the most risk.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know who does the talking, but there is a few things that could give us a lot stronger leads, but yeah, we do have somewhere to go. I don't really think I have the silver tongue to really interrogate this guy.
I'll happily talk to him. Use my charisma. It's just, weighing the risk-reward. What is there? Like, do we have enough clues if we just try and cipher all these documents and stuff ourselves?
Yeah.
We had a bunch of names. I mean, fuck, Rook probably wants to know why his dad's name is on that list.
I was going to say that list of names. We kind of wanted to know why the Poonschley name was on it. I want to know about the moon mask a little bit. Like, there's a thing about six stones. Like, so is there anything? What about that? And then also that, like, Warforged note he had, I was kind of interested in.
chop his hands off and then bind him up.
Yeah, we have to be really careful.
Yeah, I know. Well, the other thing, like, if we can't just go and slit his throat.
Why not?
No, we can't do that either.
That's just not how D&D combat works.
That's true.
It'd be like if he's not responsive, then he's not, and he's stuck in a trance. You could just basically, like, yeah, put a bolt in his head. Coup de grace, I guess. Yeah, it's pretty like a coup de grace.
As you guys talk on, the large round metallic door looms more and more in the party's mind. You haven't heard a word from there for a while.
I'm starting to lean more and more towards let's just kill him instantly.
Yeah, the more time we pass, okay, let's just go for it. Yeah, I think like most of the party's down with just taking him out.
It's so. Oh, wait. We could red frog him.
Ooh.
So we could bind
him. But we do have
red frog him.
We do have super potent red frog. It made us forget an entire fucking month.
It's raw, uncut red frog.
Yeah, baby. There's also a beautiful amount of poetic justice.
I think that's funny, but should we just open the door and blow it in his face? Like, how are you giving it to
him? Well, that's how they did it to us. They just pumped it through the ventilation and it got us.
Yeah, but like whoever's holding it blowing is totally going to breathe some in and get KO'd.
Not necessarily. Put a bandana over a mouth.
What if Steve does like a ninja toss of like a sack? Yeah, a sack of red frog.
Like dip a dagger in red frog and like throw it at him?
I could do that. I was thinking more like ninja smoke bomb.
I probably could do that.
Oh boy. And the last thing we heard from the half-orc was like, what, chop his hands off?
Yeah.
Good luck. It's funny, it's actually going down in severity from the half-orc. First it was slit his throat, now it's just chop his hands off.
Yeah.
And bind him.
Very interesting train of thought, guys. The clock is ticking, and I would say now you guys have been discussing this for approximately 15 minutes in game time. So clock is ticking, and Rook, you're now like, sorry, how many hit points are you supposed to get at the end of this? 12 or 13?
12.
Okay, well, so you're 3 hit points at 12 as long as nothing else happens. What's happening now, guys?
You guys want to try and red frog him?
Can we still command him?
No. No, he's occupied with the task I gave him when I cast the spell.
Red frog him, then we don't get any information out of him, though.
Yeah.
Not now. You just kind of prolong it without killing him.
What if, like, we just sit him down at the table and, like, talk to him? Or we just, like, open the door and talk to him? And then as soon as we get enough, we just, like, jam a chloroform rag of red frog in his face?
Yeah, that's kind of what I like. I like that. Or just have Steve readied with the smoke bomb.
Yeah, or we do like a ninja smoke bomb, like a red frog. It's like, it could
Give Stolas the red frog.
Oh yeah, Stolas, can Stolas black out?
Stolas will do all the red frog.
Oh shit.
And we never see Stolas again.
Oh, it's good shit.
Good shit. Okay, we need to make a decision now.
Let's do this.
Yeah,
let's. Are we going to interrogate and then attempt a red frogging?
Yeah, how are we going to administer it? Are we doing
Belleg, are you going to be the point man on this one?
I think Belleg's talking to him.
Yeah, deception. I can do the interrogation. I don't know what kind of deception, like, it's not like I can be like, hey, you should tell me this.
I guess, is it investigation? Is that?
It would be like
intimidation.
I think the best way to go about it is to get like Kaitoa to grapple him, or like just we need to fuck up his hands, then interrogate, then red frog.
Okay, but we can't tell him what to do, so we can't tell him like put your hands on this table for me.
No, you'd have to like sneak attack him while he's staring at the wall.
To crush his hands.
Use your caustic hammer on his little mitts.
I don't know if you'll need intimidation after that, because he's going to come out of this stupor with two crushed hands and a giant robot looking. Yeah. Okay. We can't kill him. I don't think Steve is down for that, but we certainly need to make sure he can't cast spells, and Steve is okay with you breaking hands.
Yeah.
He's not going to die.
So I'm just going to walk in there and either break his hands or try and chop him off.
Steve wants to send Stolas in that situation. Send him in the room first. See what's up. See if the coast is clear.
You can make him appear in the room, can't you?
Yeah, I was going to say, can he just appear? No,
I can send him 30 feet. At this point, I just want to make sure the coast is clear. We're not opening the door to a... to some sort of ambush or anything like that.
But if we blink him in with the red frog, then we can, like, if there is an ambush, just blink him out it and then blink him out. Or we can just, like...
But we're not going to get any information from...
Yeah, but I mean, or if we open the door and something bad happens, then we can just all jump out, slam the door, and then he can drop the red frog there. Okay, either way, let's just go in. I'll break his hands.
I like it.
Okay, so Rook, a half an hour has passed, and you are now up to 6 hit points recovery. Yes.
This is like, it's like casino.
This could go very well or very poorly.
Yeah. Essentially, we're going to blink Stolas in, and that happens quickly, Steve.
Yeah.
It is as you left them. Freddy in one corner looking at the nice picture drawn on the wall and sobbing now and gaunt and gray bags under his eyes. And Nafri, administrator of Pole, with his brown cloak on, his little turban. And he is looking intently at the masonry at the back of this safe.
All right. So, yeah, we're going to open this. I'm just going to walk in and break his hands.
Yeah.
Mush his hands and get them, like, stuck behind. Like, we need to bind him, so.
Yeah. I'll walk in there with you if we can, like, dual grapple or something.
Can, like, someone hold on to Crisplick or make sure Crisplick doesn't go bolting in there or something? Because that would suck.
Can I make a suggestion for this?
Yeah.
We need the song stuck in the middle with you.
Okay.
Reservoir Dog style.
So I don't want a duel tonight.
Is someone gonna go man the foot pedal on the desk?
I'll gorp Crisplick up so she's doing all right. I can do the foot pedal, I guess.
Sweet. All right, let's go do this.
Okay, Steve, then you'll have crept into the old office of Bartio as the door opens and you press this pedal. Just have you left Stolas in there?
Yeah, Stolas is just hanging out in the...
Okay, well, that great then. So Steve, who's on the pedal that opens this huge walk-in safe door, I mean, your eyes are on the situation, and your compatriots, Kaitoa and Beleg, approach that door. It swings open.
Sir, I have something for you. Please hold out both your hands.
I must speak with the owners, Ekuruk and Beleg. As I spent time in here, there is a problem. I will not hold out my hands.
I have 2 messages for them, or for you from them.
Very well, very well. What?
And he has turned just to the side, Kaitoa. He's looking at you sidelong.
I hold out my hand like a piece of paper. I haven't read the message yet.
So you're holding out an empty hand towards him?
Well, it's kind of closed, so he can't see if there's anything in it or not.
Can you roll
I'm trying to get him to, like, hold out his hand.
Can you roll persuasion or performance?
Both suck, so I'm just going to roll it anyways. I'm going to take my 1 inspiration.
Yeah. That's a weak sounding roll.
Okay, 15.
So one of his hands nervously reaches out towards yours.
Now I'm going to reach out and grab it and try and crush it.
All right. You will have maybe a dex roll.
And also, like, as I grab the one, I'm going for the other hand as well.
Okay, so first
he doesn't got his behind his back.
Yeah, first let's roll a dex, and if possible, you'd like to really get that other hand. So roll me a dex, and then maybe we'll do a grapple.
Hey, Rob, I'd just like to point out that Beleg is summoning his glaive.
Okay.
I have a 13.
You have caught his hand, but he strains and pulls away from you as Nafri is now screaming through his teeth, but he is lunging away from you.
Ah, command him away! Command him away! Owners!
And am I crushing his hand? You may crush his hand. Roll strength.
23. So 18 plus 3.
18 plus 3. So what do you think happens, Caleb? And then Beleg, you're looking on. You can see this. You're within about 10 feet. And Steve, have you moved into the range where you can see into the Hurt Locker?
Yeah,
you can see through Stolas, can't you?
After I've pressed the pedal, I'm gonna make my way over.
Okay, well, Chris Blick, you said you were feeding Gorp. She's very interested, and you know her nose perks up, and her ears kind of, you know, all of a sudden turn like little radars towards the screaming that is happening.
Bro, I'm going to break the other arm too.
Okay, well, you hear a sickening crunching.
Nice.
And you're going for the other hand. Can you roll like a grapple?
What is a grapple?
It's a strength check.
Yeah.
Another strength, your favorite.
Eight.
Okay. Nafri has crumpled to the ground to hold his mangled wrist, fist area. I mean, it looks more like a crushed eggplant. It's all misshapen and red and purple. It's quite awful. And there's Freddy running for the door. Beleg, he brushes past you and pushes you back a couple feet. He is running in your direction, Steve, but you're able now to grapple Nafri totally. Kaitoa, he is yours.
Can I try and grab Freddy?
You can. Both Steve and Beleg, you can make a try, an attempt.
I'm going to chuck a dagger at him, but I am going to throw it in a way that it's going to hit him hilt first. I'm not point the end.
And he's literally running past you, both of you guys. Beleg, what'd you roll?
So athletics?
Acrobatics or athletics?
Okay, I'll roll acrobatics then. Oh, savage. It like sat on 18. For at least a half second, and then rolled to 2.
And then, Steve, what does your hilt dagger throw roll sound like?
That is a 14. Do I get my standard throwing bonus?
Absolutely.
Oh, sweet. Okay, so that is a... Sweet, 24.
Okay, well, so then, Beleg, were you running to simply grab him or trip him up with your glaive or what?
Just trip him.
Okay, so you manage to trip him and send him hurtling a pot over kettle towards Steve, and Steve, you just finish him off. You hit him with the butt of your dagger, say right in the collarbone as he comes towards you, and he slides into the wall.
Oh, not good.
Don't run away, you idiot.
It looks like he's been knocked unconscious.
Okay, good.
Rook, you see all of this happened right in your, 20-foot view here, as it seems like Freddy was making for the door, but with a thump, he is out. And the screams of Nafri back to Kaitoa, what are you doing with that second hand?
It's getting broken, too.
Okay.
15.
All right, as you wrestle his one arm away... Can you roll a perception as you crush his other hand and knuckle?
Nice. Nice.
That's the best.
It's a 14.
You see that in his second hand, his right hand, what he was protecting, looks like a small piece of wood, a small... piece of like wooden dowel, like a cylinder with two little indents on it, and it tumbles out of his hand.
I'd love to try and grab it.
Yeah, I keep my eye on it, see where it falls, and I look over and say, get that. And I try and tie his arms up. No, his broken arms, I'm going to try and tie behind his back.
Okay, well, Nafri is not looking good. The screams are now subsiding. Nafri here is going to... Yeah, his screams now subside, and he is looking up at you who have approached. Beleg, you said you wanted to make a grab for that small wooden artifact?
Yeah.
Okay, it's tumbled into, like, say, the 10-foot radius around Nafri and Kaitoa. And Kaitoa, you're now binding him his what remain of his arms. And you have done a number on his on both of his arms. I mean, all the way from the wrist to the forearm. You have taken liberties with the word hand. And he looks like a sort of mangled, floppy octopus creature. It's disgusting.
Well, and now he's going to be bound behind the back, and then we're going to...
Oh, you should tie his hands with his hands.
Gotcha.
Just, like, tie a knot.
Like a rubber man.
You are good at knitting. Jesus. Welcome, friends and adventurers, to The Break. This week, we would like to share a promo from Brits on Bikes.
In other news, it appears that Marsh Haven is on the up, as those good eggs over at Mondo Corps have done it again by announcing an 150 new jobs once they open the doors to the Phoenix Plaza. Various boutiques and offices, the plaza boasts a new exhibition space, famous Pete Mummy, and a much-needed cash injection into local secondary school, Anna Kingsford College.
Hello. Look, if you can hear this, then maybe all is not lost. Marsh Haven is not the place that you think it is. It has secrets, and there doesn't seem to be a sane adult in 100 miles of the place who wants to know. Look, just spread the word. The kids are doing the best they can, but the country needs to know. The world needs to know that...
Brits on Bikes is an actual play podcast powered by the Kids on Bikes RPG. Listen on your preferred podcatcher and follow us on Twitter @Brits_bikes. Keep on biking.
And now we return to Season 3, Episode 2 of Dungeons and Blackguards.
Well, and now he's going to be bound behind the back, and then we're going to...
Oh, you should tie his hands with his hands.
No, I'm just going to use my old homemade rope.
It's getting awful in there, but, like, the screams of Nafri. No, he is not able to form a sentence. He is gurgling with pain all of a sudden again. Kaitoa, as you take what remains of his arms and bind them... And now, Beleg, you have this small artifact in your palm. It is a very small, a dark piece of wood. You can pocket that. What are you doing, guys? Now, Rook, you have regained 3/4 of your hit points. You're up to sort of 9.
Huzzah.
Yeah, there would now be a pass to Freddy, and only half an hour to go till 3:00.
Let's start talking.
Yeah, I want to look Nafri in the eye and snap my fingers and turn into him.
Roll a performance, please, Beleg.
12.
At the moment you have changed into the Nafri personage, but he has not noticed. He is currently being bound, and, you know, he's sort of facing the northern wall here of where you've kept this guy caged for almost half a day. And Kaito is finishing binding him. He's not noticed your presence, although he was calling out before, but so you'd have to walk in and get his attention.
I'd like to walk in.
Wait.
And, okay.
I was going to say, should we bring him out before we all, like, pile into this little room, or just leave him in here?
Let's leave him in here.
Okay, I'm going to try and sit him up against a wall so he can look at us.
Okay, you slump Nafri into the corner. Kaito, are you being rough? Are you being gentle?
No, I'm gonna not be, like, super rough. I'm just gonna, yeah, pick him up and try and shift his body so we can talk to him. Try not to do any more damage.
Ah, fools, you'll pay for this. I don't... Ah.
And now he has noticed you, Beleg, and he turns white as a sheet.
Beleg just goes, "Look at me, you fool!" And gives him a real angry look, and, oh shit, Kaitoa, do you have the documents, or do I have them in my grave?
I think you got them now. We opened it. I opened it.
This is so happening in real time.
Yeah, that's valid. Do you have the things?
Yes, you are, sire.
Perfect. Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna pause you guys there real quick. As you guys, like, Bellic, that was fantastic. And you have Nafri's attention. But in that moment, you did look to your friend Kaitoa and all of a sudden kind of tap him on the chest, your file cabinet friend who's got the documents. During this time, Rook, you are now back to your full hit points. You have behaved.
Yeah.
And you now hear everything going a little quiet after the latest outburst of two Nafri voices. Nafri looks back and forth at you, Beleg, and you, Kaitoa, as you discuss back and forth who's got the stuff you want to present.
All right. Well, between the two of us, we have it.
Do you need a duotang?
Shut up. We grab the documents and just show them one by one. And as I'm showing them one, I want to snap back to Beleg. And... just go explain yourself.
I see you've been very busy, little spiders.
And he looks frantic now. Have you tied his arms behind him or in front of him?
Behind him, behind his back.
Okay. And so as he looks at the papers in front of you, yeah, across his pale brow, sweat begins to pour, and he now starts shouting,
"That one, Engo, as I said before, you fools! We're just trying to survive a bad winter. Engo Oldfoot, he's the one behind it all, and is."
And he seems to be indicating one of these papers.
Well, there's the E. Oldfoot is crossed out.
Mm-hmm.
E foot is E old foot, eh?
I roll a history of is if I've traveled to is. And
yeah. If you want to figure out if you've ever foot? Traveled to is, usually what do? We roll a D. Let's roll a D6 to see if Steve's ever actually been there, and then we'll roll more on it.
Moving wares between these
exactly. different. Exactly. Exactly. Not out of the realm of possibility at all.
So further from that, I think what I want to do is roll a history to understand this guy's standing in is if he's been talked about, if he's a person of power.
Oldfoot?
He's kind of, yeah, if that name has come around.
Okay.
So first the D6?
Yeah.
All right, that's a 5.
Oh, you have traveled to is. And you'd immediately recall that is was... discussed a couple sessions back, you and the party, it was run by a merchant's guild, and Iz was sort of this border town between the southern wilds and the long, long caravan road, you know, down to like the southern lands, like the Gulf of Galagi and that area. And then in terms of Oldfoot, have you ever heard that name in connection with Iz? You have not. Steve has not ever heard that name before.
Can I also roll insight on Nafri saying that?
Yeah, certainly. Insight to sort of gauge motives or truthiness?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a nat one.
Ooh. He's just saying words.
Yeah, yeah. Beleg, are you still in the Nafri disguise?
No, I'm back as Beleg. Okay. I wanted to spook him as Nafri and then switch back and be like, yeah, fuck you. We know your secrets.
Well, you certainly displayed yourself, you know, as a magic user and a disguise master. So you have switched back into Beleg, but no, you can't discern Nafri's motives or the legitimacy of what he's saying now. It is truly horrific. What has happened to this man's arms, and has he, you know, as he looks forward, oh, his turban falls off, and it rolls onto the ground.
What's he got under there? Is he Cubald?
Yeah, well, no, he looks like an average human, I suppose, sort of all of dark skin, dark hair.
All right, well, who's Oldfoot?
Is he hiding anything under that turban? Is there anything in the turban?
No. Nothing in the turban, Kaito, oh, okay, that you can see. It sort of unravels on the floor, but no, he looks like a mess.
I told you! He's behind it all, holding me hostage. It's all I can do with this fool of a mayor. But now, I must ask... You seem to have healing arts here. You've broken me, and I will die soon from the blood loss.
Where can we find him?
Is the map there?
And he starts to indicate
where
a piece of paperwork that has fallen out from amongst. And I think this may complete the complement of documents. Let's see here. Yes. And there is a map of the city. Of Iz. And this piece of parchment shows the River Polba, which you guys are familiar with. It flows through Polb. It also runs alongside the road from Polb to Iz. And this map shows here the River Polba running east-west, and on the southern bank, a medium-sized walled city with the main routes in and out also shown.
I want to ask him, tell me about these moon masks.
What do you mean, these moon masks? I told you I'm dying here. Look at the pool of widening blood.
Hey, Kaitoa, can you tighten that knot to make it a tourniquet?
Yeah, I can do a tourniquet on his arm.
Can you roll medicine?
Sweetie.
Inappropriate medicine.
Inappropriate medicine was the name of my band in high school.
11.
Okay, you managed to kind of turn him around and maybe perform a really quick, rough move. He is bleeding quite badly, but you're able to turn him around and prop him back up against the wall. What did you ask there next?
Yeah, I grab the paper with the moon mask on it, and I make his head look at it, and I say, tell me about these masks.
This fool Engo believes in old ancient superstitions. It was these masks that made him want people to feed some bizarre experiment.
What does the half moon mean?
I don't know.
And then I start to get even more mad and shake him, and I say, well, like, what about the six marks?
So Kaitoa, are you referring to the, there are kind of three, maybe tear-shaped marks on each side of the mask?
Yeah, just wondering if, like, the point of him putting that on the, like, build request had any significance. Same with the moon.
I've never seen that mask. I have no idea.
We found a fucking mask in your chest.
It had a moon on it, too. Tell us about the moon.
As you mentioned the chest, Beleg, he looks up again, and, you know, a whole new level of brow sweating and pallor comes over his face as he surveys the documents on the ground and sees some of the more incriminating of them, and certainly ones tying him directly to a mask, and more importantly, this one maybe making one of them. Yes, he clams up now, guys. He has totally shut up, and he lurches back against the wall and starts to kind of sink down a little bit.
I say to him, if you have nothing left to say, we can go talk to this Damon's Pottery.
Fuck that. Why us? Why'd you Red Frog us?
Yeah.
Oh, Bellick's pissed off.
So you shout, why did you Red Frog us?
Yeah.
You guys begin to see around Nafri's mouth area a bit of bubbling.
Oh, crap.
He's dying or poisoned himself somehow.
He's like cyanide capsuled himself.
Yeah.
You can't tell for sure, but you two in the room, you can tell something's wrong. Can't tell if it's, you know, is he collapsing? Is he convulsing? You can't tell at the moment.
Can I check my moonstone just to see what it's doing?
Yes, of course. As you pull out fucking your moonstone, quickly check your conscience.
It's got to do something.
It is red.
Okay.
Can I roll like medicine to see if I can?
I don't think we should heal this dude.
No. I just want to figure out why he's foaming.
Yeah, can we do a group one, maybe? See if any of us recognize what he's suffering, or like...
As you look on, then, yeah, you could roll perception or medicine, but as you do so, his condition is worsening in front of your face. He seems to be now almost, oh dear... Oh, his face is starting to develop sort of a green, orange, and acidic bubbling.
We got a bleeder.
Yeah, healing spirits burst out of the floor.
Did Steve do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested. So, Steve, you have a line of sight on this terrible thing happening here. If you're casting your little healing guise... They would appear immediately in the vicinity of the person you want to heal. Do they have to step through it, or can you cast it around somebody?
I can cast it like onto a spot. It just basically creates a 5-foot cube of healing.
Oh wow! Okay, I'm
going to send it onto Nafri.
Oh right, as the face starts to melt away, everybody can roll history except for Steve, who's casting little healing spirit guys. And then what does that look like, and what mechanically are we gonna do? Are we gonna add are you adding a healing roll?
For healing
I rolled a nat 1 again.
Yeah, I got a 10.
I got a 2+1, 3, baby. Woo!
Lasts for a minute. You call an intangible spirit to a cubic five-foot space you can see until the spell ends. Whenever you or a creature can see moves into the spirit's space for the first time or a turn starts. First time on a turn or starts its turn there, you can cause the spirit to restore 1d6 hit points to that creature and no action required.
1d6. Okay, yeah, roll it up.
This one's a 3.
Okay. And this is enveloping, what, Nafri?
I assume it's within range for me to just drop it on his spot.
Okay.
Roll off. He's just kind of sitting in there for the duration of the spell.
Well, why don't we just keep rolling until he looks...
Immediately, okay. You see some of the bubbling and acidic and frothing, which has taken over and exposed, you know, a whole bunch of teeth and incisors and up to his cheek. You see it start to reverse. But there is still sort of, you know, that you can tell whatever is causing this is still having some effect. It has not subsided.
Belleg, that thing you picked up, do you want to inspect that? Is that like an antidote maybe or something? Did he poison himself?
So if it lasts up to a minute, then that's, what, 10?
Okay. So essentially, during that minute, you're going to see, I suppose, a sort of battle, a fight between your healing spirit's magic and this acidic bubbling away that the rest of the party will see and maybe Kodamas remembered. What everybody roll in history?
I got a 10.
3.
Rook.
And I think Billy got a 1 or something.
No.
A natty one.
Okay, so Katoa, you're the only one remembering back in Lot Murrow, the manor there, the castle, and that acrid smell. And that person who you assume to be Lord Telchain's melted away face. And you realize this is like the exact same effect that you are seeing and that exact same smell. And so, Steve, I think by the end of this thing, during this sort of minute, there is an awful transformation to half of Nafri's face. It's sort of, it bubbles and solidifies, and it seems like, although half of his face has been horribly disfigured, it has not, like, melted away his ability to live and speak.
Hasn't killed his thinking brain.
He is now released, I suppose, from the healing circle. The minute has gone on, and it seems like you've stopped whatever was happening.
What was that?
My little guys took care of it. Yeah.
We asked him, like, what the fuck was that?
Don't do that again.
A terrible guttural sputtering noise comes from Nafri as simultaneously a bell tolls. It is 3:00, guys, and you are in danger of being late for the duel. Nafri does not seem to be answering. you definitely stopped something that would have, I think, melted half of his face and brain, Steve. I think you stopped that. Okay. Yeah, horribly disfigured in the face. The arms have straightened out a little bit, but he is still bound.
So he can't talk.
Oh, we just lock him back in here. Go.
Stick a sock in his mouth and make sure his hands are really nice and bound.
Yeah, I'm gonna bound his mouth.
Like, stick a sock in his mouth through the hole in his face.
Yeah, well, just in case he like moans really loud or something. Yeah, and yeah, we're just gonna leave him in there and go, and I guess we gotta get that other dude in here.
We gotta bind up
Freddy. Yeah, like gag Freddy as well, then close the door, and they're both in there tied up.
Yeah, it works for me. I'm suited up, and I'm ready to roll. I'm not too worried about being late, because I'm going to kick this guy's ass.
So fucked up, so we can really... if you bind him up, that makes it really, really painful.
Freddy?
His busted up hand.
Yeah, but he's not... We don't have to make it, like, too crazy. But just so he's immobile.
They're both going to be of sound mind, I think, when Nafri comes by. So I think having them both in the same room is difficult enough if we're not around. They may try to help each other out.
Okay, well, where do we put them then?
Do we have that? What about that chest in the training room?
Just lock them in a trunk?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see if it fits. Do we have a key for it?
I don't know.
And does it lock?
If we bind them up real nice and just toss them in the chest, put like a block, put a weight on top of it.
Yeah, okay, and then they
or
can't
tie the chest closed.
The chest is in it's in a crate. We don't even have access to it yet.
And then also, do you think he could get out of this hurt locker because of that back entrance?
I think we just bind them the fuck up, like blindfold them, gag them.
Yeah,
find their, like, hog tie them, and then
hog tie and bag them. Yeah, hog tie, gag and bag them, and just leave them both in there.
Yeah.
Because they can't see, can't talk, and can't move.
Gag and bag.
We can also cut their ears off if we really want to make it hard.
No, they'll probably both die, but let me get back.
I gotta get to this duel because I don't want to be much later, and I do want to.
Okay,
I'm totally picturing. I'm picturing Rook pacing back and forth like the 12-year-old when their parents are late taking them to the track meet.
We have to go now.
We have to go. I'm nervous. I don't want to compete, but I want to.
My armor chest plate's all shined up, and I'm ready. You know, it's like I'm ready to take out my first date to the movie theater, but I'm running a little late.
Yeah, I'm gonna go pee quick.
While this whole thing's going and we're crushing hands and shit, Rook's in the back just polishing breastplates, checking all his weapons, making sure all the burrs are fucking are honed out with a stone.
Yeah, with a nice sharpening stone, right?
So we're tying them both in there, locking the door, gag and bag, hog tie, and heading to the fight.
Okay, so it's still a room for two in the Hurt Locker. Anything for Freddy in terms of triage, or are you just throwing his unconscious form into the shadows?
Very roughly, yes.
Yeah, screw Freddy. I gotta get to fighting.
Yeah, I'm gonna tie him up, and both guys can see.
Great. Okay, so I just need one final check on our good friend Nafri. Definitely alive, definitely bound, and you just left him right where he was.
But we did gag both people.
Got it.
Both are hogtied, and both are like bagged with a pillowcase or something to like not see.
Not my pillowcase.
So they can't move. They can't move, talk, or see.
So you guys now, all crowding up at the top? You guys leaving the white chain?
Yep, let's go to the duel. Right. I guess I gotta don my Nafri outfit. Oh, I'm gonna go as Beleg until I can find somewhere like under the gallows or something to swap into Nafri so it doesn't look like I'm coming in with them.
Got it. And as you guys leave here, and you've thrown Freddy in there, okay, let's just do a little
I can leave Stolas to just hang out in the room.
That's not a bad idea.
Really gets hairy, then I can just pull him.
Yeah, do that.
Pull him into us.
Excellent idea.
Stolas, stay home. Poke their eyes out? I don't know.
You can do some damage, Candy.
Not really. He's not that type of owl.
He's so not that guys, type of owl.
As you guys go down the stairs, what order are you leaving in?
I think I'd be at the front because I'm antsy okay. And the pantsy to get in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay.
And Naf are disguised Nafri.
No, I'm Beleg right now.
Oh, you're Beleg. Okay.
This is like the beginning of Gangs of New York. We're just yeah. walking through the streets.
I'm going to be right behind Rook then.
I'm going to be Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay. As you guys open the door, roll initiative.
Oh, shit.
Oh, snap.
Immediately as you open the door, you hear footsteps coming up fast. And that, friends and adventurers, is where we will have to leave you until the next time on Dungeons and Blackguards. D20, and I'm going to join you.
Wait.
Uh-oh. Ugh. 7.
Ooh, 10.
8.
A 17.
Wow. I rolled a 3.
Oh, my heart was beating there.